Good morning. I don't know, Billy, Trevor. I'm feeling good. I don't know about this spring forward. It didn't faze me. Are y'all? So I'm looking for the ones that are going to fall asleep today. So I'm watching. Yeah. So glad that you are here this morning. You know, we're a little bit thin this morning. I know we've got a lot of people out of town for spring break. And got some that are, I know, heading out after church today. I hope you all are safe and have a great spring break. But isn't it crazy that spring is here? Crazy. Seemed like we just, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we had, you know, freezing and snow and ice and all kinds of stuff. Maybe it's a little bit longer than that, but pretty recent. But I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. And I don't say that just to be saying that. I really do hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If, you know, we're not the church for everybody, but if God is tugging on your heart that we might be a church for you, I want to get to know you. I want to know who you are. I want you to know who I am. So one of the ways that we do that, there is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invites you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know who you are. There's a place there you can put your email address if you want to be on our email list, and you can check the box right below it that will add you to our email list. We also have a Wiley Methodist app. You can go to the App Store and download that. It's free, and it's got a lot of information about our church. At the end of the service, at the very end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. I welcome you to bring your blue card and come, and I'd like to meet you. I've got a gift for you. And we had a lot of members wanting the free gift. Sorry. I guess you're going to have to leave and come back to our... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If somebody really wants a free gift, we'll make sure you get one. So that's right after the worship service, and Billy will be up front for any needs as well. So... if you would, are y'all awake? Man, I tell you, it's kind of like crickets this morning. So I'm going to be watching. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. This is our last Sunday on this chapter. This will be the fourth week that we've spent on 1 Corinthians 13. It's Apostle Paul writing these words, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We've invited you. We ask you now to speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently read about a gentleman. It was 67-year-old carpenter. His name was Russell Herman, and he died in 1994. And he left a kind of an impressive will. In his will, he left $2 billion to the city of St. Louis, where he was from, $1.5 billion to the state of Illinois, $2.5 billion for the National Forest System, $6 trillion to the government to help pay off the debt. The only problem was Herman's assets when he died was a 1983 Oldsmobile. And so I make that point to make this point, that we cannot share something you don't have. Hello. You cannot share something you don't have. Today's sermon series that we will conclude today is Love Like Jesus. Love Like Jesus. And today's message is Love Always and Never. You know, we've talked these last several weeks, I've talked about the way that the Greeks communicated love is a lot more expansive than what we have in the English language. We say love for, you know, I love Taco Bueno, or I love that movie, or I mean we describe love in a lot of different ways. But in the Greek language, you can be very specific on the love that you're talking about. Love between friends is a separate Greek word. Love between parents and children is another word. Sexual love is another word. But what we've been spending these last 3 weeks on is the unconditional, intentional love of God. And there, that word is known as agape. And it's interesting, if you have a concordance where you can go and look up the Greek definitions. I don't know Greek. I did not take Greek. I'm practical ministry. I took Spanish. But that's all I got, man. That's all. You know, 2 years of Spanish. That's all I got. But I have concordances, and I can look these things up. And the thing that's interesting, as you begin to look up the word agape, it is spread throughout God's Word. In this chapter alone, I've said this, it's used 9 times, and it's referred to 21 times in 13 verses. And so that agape love, is the love of God, the intentional unconditional love of God. It doesn't have anything to do with feelings. Hello, shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with feelings. It is an intentional commitment that's unconditional, and it's based on actions. And I talked last week about, if you'll look it up in Ephesians 5, I use this all the time as I'm talking to couples, and it says, husbands, agape your wives as Christ has agaped his church, his bride, and which means this unconditional, this selfless, sacrificial, intentional love. And so today we're going to spend some time on those two words, love always and love never, as we understand it a little bit deeper. So the first thing is the unconditional agape love of God can always be counted on. It can always be counted on. There's nothing, and Billy talked about it as he was leading into the prayer time today, that you know, in Carlene's sermon about being number one. You know, how many of us really and truly feel like number one, that we're God's number one guy or gal? I mean, we just don't feel that way because we know that we're not worthy of that. And if we do feel worthy of that outside of Christ, then that's a whole nother sermon. Love can always be counted on. It's not conditional upon how good we are. God just loves us. And I talked about last week when my little grandson came running across the parking lot and was running towards me with his hands up and wanting me to embrace him, and that was good stuff. And I loved my grandsons before they were born, not because they had done anything for me, not because they would do anything for me. I just loved them. It's just there. God just loves us, and it can always be counted on. Love, it says in verse 7, always protects, always trusts. Now, so if you are this morning, if you are feeling ashamed, if you're feeling some sort of shame, I say this often, but I think we need to hear this over and over and over. Shame is not from God. I want that to soak for a second. Shame is not from God. Conviction is different than shame. God convicts us when our actions are not pleasing to Him, when our behavior is not pleasing to Him. He convicts us. There's something in us that just knows that that is wrong. But shame is a whole different thing. Shame is where we feel unlovable, where we feel unworthy and unlovable. Love always protects, always trusts. You know, one of the things that I was visiting with someone recently. They had a teenage girl that was going through teenage girl stuff. Anybody ever had a teenage girl? Anybody ever been a teenage girl? I've not been a teenager, but I've had two of them. You know, the thing about it is this person was talking about, I need to lay down the law. And there's something to be said for having fair boundaries and rules. But I said, this person, what she needs right now is she needs to know you're for her. You're for her. You're not against her. It doesn't mean that you just let them run loosey-goosey and do anything they want to do. Yes, there's boundaries, and yes, God gives us boundaries too. But she needed to know that she needed her environment to be stable and to be feel safe and to trust and to know that you're not just sitting there ready to just hammer across the head anytime she gets steps out of line. And it's the way it is with God, that always protects that agape love of God. It's always protecting us. It's always trustworthy. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells the parable about the two builders, that one built their house on the sand. You know the parable. Most of you probably read it. It's in Matthew 7. One built it on the sand, and one built their house on the rock. And when the storms came, we know what happens to the house built on the sand. It's washed away. But when you build that house on the foundation that can be counted on, this agape love of Jesus, I mean, nothing else can wash that away. Nothing else can take away from that. As I visit with families who are going through crisis, and we have many in our church who've gone through and are going through difficult things. And I see the faith that they demonstrate, and I often wonder, how do people make it without Jesus? How do we make it without Jesus? I mean, that's when people fall apart. Yes, Jesus didn't promise us an easy time if we come and follow Him, but He always promised that He loves us and that He would be there for us. He would walk with us. The agape love of God can always be counted on. It always protects and always trusts. Secondly, the unconditional agape love of God always looks forward. Always looks forward. There's, you know, and it speaks in verse 7. Love always hopes and always perseveres. So there's this forward looking for love. They see a bigger picture. You know, we talked about that song that Trevor led us in When I Come to Die, we're all going to be there, every single one of us. When I come to die, give me Jesus. Because the agape love of Jesus, it just doesn't fail. He is the foundation that we can count on, that we can build our life on. And it's always looking forward. It understands, the agape love of God, it always understands that even the trials, God is forming us. God is forming us. I am a more effective pastor because of some of the things I've been through in my life, some of the bad things, struggles, trials, even sin of my life. I am a more effective pastor because of those things. James 1 says it this way: consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Now we read that verse and we go, well, say what? consider it joy when we face trials? How many of us, when we face trials, go, yippee? We don't do that. But there's a purpose even in the trial, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's one of the things, I don't know, I'm kind of goofy sometimes. Jeff Foxworthy, the great theologian, came to my mind. I had no idea I was coming out with this, but he talks about when he was growing up. Nowadays, you got all these little safety gadgets, you know, you got the little plug covers and you got the little latches on your, and he goes, man, when I was a kid, you know, my dad said, yeah, stick that penny in the lock socket. I see how that works out for you. I told you he's a great theologian, but, trial, and you do it once. I think I've told you this before, but I can remember as a goofy little kid getting a paper clip and making a little horseshoe thing out of it and thinking, I wonder what this will do in the light, that plug right there. And it kind of did that and blacked up the plug, you know, and threw a breaker, and I'm scrubbing on the, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm confessing to you, but I learned, don't do that. There was something in the maturity process going on, even for a goofy little kid like myself. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because it's developing our faith. The testing of our faith is developing perseverance. It's creating us into the mature and complete person that God would have us to be. And here's the thing. The enemy wants to shame us of our past. And, oh, you can't tell anybody that happened. You can't tell anybody that you went through that. You can't, because they won't think, you know, I'm just telling you. And men, we think that to shed tears shows weakness. I'm telling you, that's strength. When a man has the courage to be weak and vulnerable. So there's this process of maturing us. The trials are maturing us and making us, creating us to be the person that God has called us to be. The unconditional agape love of God always looks forward. It always sees the end. And thirdly, the unconditional agape love of God never gives up. Never gives up. And in verse 8, love never fails. The agape never fails. Now, the other kind of love that the Greeks had, that stuff fails. The love of friends, the love of family can fail. The sexual love can certainly fail. But the agape love of God never fails. I love this. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking here and he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And if you look forward at the end, early on in Paul's ministry. If you look forward to the end of his ministry, when he's writing to 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he says, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness in store for me. So in Acts 20, he's talking about his desire is to finish the race and to complete the task that Jesus has given him. In Timothy, he's saying, I've done it. I can go to be with Jesus, and I've done what he's called me to do. And all the things that happened to Paul in his ministry was maturing him, and the love of God never gave up on him. Now, as I close this morning, I want to say this. This actually just came to me this week. I was actually talking with Brent, and I were visiting some about this. I want to read the first three verses again, which is going to lead me to my final point here. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. So here's what I really feel like that this passage, these verses are telling us. Some of you may disagree with this, and I welcome dialogue with you later. You can be a spirit-filled Christian and not speak in tongues. I believe that the gift of tongues is a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit, but I believe you can be a spirit-filled Christian and not speak in tongues. I believe that. I believe you can be a spirit-filled Christian and not have the gift of prophecy. I believe the gift of prophecy is a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit, but I believe you can be a spirit-filled Christian and not have the gift of prophecy. But here's the kicker. I believe with all my heart, and I believe Scripture bears this out, you cannot be a spirit-filled Christian and not love. Uh-oh. I mean, there's all these other gifts. We can do all these other things and have all of these other gifts, and some have those gifts and some don't, and some may feel a call to minister to the poor, and others may have this call. And there's all kinds of diversity and all that. But if we don't love, where's Jesus? I believe it with all my heart. You cannot be a spirit-filled Christian and not love. The intentional, unconditional, agape love of God is proof that we belong to Him. Now, we don't do that perfectly. I want to make sure you understand that. We don't do that perfectly. I don't do it perfectly, and I don't think anyone else does that perfectly. But if we don't, if the love of God is not in us, and if we're not attempting to live out that agape love of God, I don't believe Christ is in us. The agape love of God is proof that we belong to Him. If we don't have it, we must not rest until we do. I want to say that again. If we don't have it, we must not rest until we do. Press in. I say that. That's my way of saying, you know, man, just press into God. I mean, desire Him with all your heart. Desire Him with all your heart. Jesus said it this way: ask, and it will be given to you. He didn't say it might be. He didn't say for some of you. He said ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. If we don't have the love of Christ in us, don't rest until you do. Seek it with all your heart. Press into Him. Get into His Word. Don't rely on me to tell you what God's Word says. Many, many people have died so that we could have this in our hands. Do we understand that? I mean, there's been, over the centuries, I'd have to go back and look at some of the history that I've looked up, but I think Wycliffe was the guy's name. He had the sin of translating the Bible and handing it out to common people, and you know what they did? They took the Bibles that he had, and they used it as kindling and burned him at the stake. Because they didn't want anybody having this. Get into the Word. What does God have to say about your life? What does God have to say about our culture that's messed up? Come to church. If we're not the church for you, find the church for you. Engage, plug in, make covenant with those people. Because we are, you know, we're called to be a covenant people because God is a covenant God. Press into Him. Pray. Serve Him. Glorify Him with your life, with your words, with your thoughts, when people are looking and when people aren't looking. Press into Him. Don't rest until you have the agape love of God in you. I want to play this song. As I was finishing up my sermon this week, this song came to my heart. Now, I just want to play this video for you, and just, if you would, just kind of be in an attitude of prayer as you listen to this. Go ahead, Alan.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when
The unconditional agape love of God can always be counted on. It always looks forward. It never gives up. 1 John 4 says, if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So how are we doing, church? Is His love made complete in us? Press into Him. Don't rest until it does. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You love us like that. And You call us to love as You have loved. Teach us how. Show us how. We want to be like You, Jesus. We want to love like You. Thank You for dying on a cross for us to prove and demonstrate once for all eternity how You feel about us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.